Talking the last couple of days about the pasuk which teaches us ma'ani b'chinam, that strictly speaking somebody is not allowed to charge money in order to teach Torah. Strictly speaking, a rabbi or a teacher or a doctor, or for that matter anybody who's involved in most mitzvah activities, is not allowed to charge money. And we spoke about some circumstances where it might be permissible to charge money. Let's move to a discussion that's relevant to the discussion we've been having, but just a little bit different. We have a pasuk in Parshas Behar where the pasuk tells us, Ki avadai hein, our relationship between the Jewish people and the Ribono Shel Olam is one of avadim. We are servants. And the pasuk says, Ki avadai hein asher hotzeisi osam me'aretz Mitzrayim lo yimkru mimkeres eved. And because you are servants to me, therefore you cannot sell yourselves as an eved to anybody else. And from here, we learn that there are limitations of how much a person is allowed to give themselves over to be under the rulership of somebody else. So we have a halacha, if let's say somebody sells himself as an eved in an unfortunate circumstance, that person is only allowed to remain as an eved for 6 years. When the Shemitah comes, you have to relinquish that ownership. If the eved chooses to stay a little longer, then how long is he able to stay? Only till Yovel. Once Yovel comes around, even if you want to stay by that person, you're not allowed to. Why? Because avadehem, you are my avadim, you are not the avadim to anybody else. But nowadays, when we don't have the institution of avadim, we don't have any servants nowadays, so it would sound like it's an irrelevant pasuk to us. However, there are still rules that govern our relationship between an employer and an employee that are based on this pasuk here as well. The pasuk says you are only expected to be avadim to the Ribono Shel Olam, you can only be subservient to him, and therefore there are limitations of how much of a relationship an employer and an employee can have with one another, which means as follows. For example, the Gemara tells us that if somebody is a schir yom, let's say I'm hired to be the cleaning lady for the day, I know I can never be a cleaning lady, but if I was the cleaning man for the day in somebody's house, so it says that Paul yachal lachzer bo afila be'emsa hayom. The rule is, and this is paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shin Lamed Gimel, that a poel, somebody who's hired as a worker for the day, is able to back out on the deal even in the middle of the day. So I clean until 12, 1 o'clock, then I say, you know what, the air conditioner's not working here, I had enough, I'm done, they're not paying me enough, I can leave, I can walk out in the middle of the job. Now, there's a caveat to that. The Shulchan Aruch says, if I'm going to make the person lose money because I'm quitting in the middle of a job, obviously that I'm going to be responsible to pay. But if it's easy for them to go on the street and find somebody else to do the job that I'm doing, and I'm not really causing them any considerable loss of money, in a case like that, we say a poel has the right, a worker has the right to stop working even in the middle of the day, and it's based on this pasuk as well, because there's a limit to how much I can be under the jurisdiction of somebody else. Avadehem, we are expected to be only under the jurisdiction of God himself, and not under the rulership of other people, and therefore, even if you hire me to do a job, you cannot expect me to be there and to be locked in forever and ever. It's something that I always have the right to back out from. So you take, for example, as we said, if I'm going to cause a considerable amount of damage or loss to the person, then I'm not allowed to back out. Or if I back out, then I have to pay the money for all the loss that they're going to suffer. So the Tosefta says in Bab Metzia, Mishahaya balan l'rabim, if let's say I run the public bathhouse, or I am a sapper l'rabim, I run the public haircut store, Nachtom l'rabim, or I run the public bakery, Shulchan l'rabim, or I am the money exchanger, Ve'ein sham acher elohu, I am the only barbershop, I am the only bakery, I am the only bathhouse, whatever it might be, a public service, V'higia shas haregel, and now it's Erev Sukkos, and I know that everybody needs my services, U'mevakesh leilech l'toch beso, and I say to myself, hey, I know everybody wants the bakery open, and I know everybody wants the bathing experience on Erev Yontif, but right now I want to take vacation. I don't want to be here now. Yecholin la'akev al yadav, we are allowed to stop you from going home, ad sheyamid acher tachtov, unless, meaning you have an obligation to the community. So again, that also falls under this category, that yes, it's true, nobody can ever lock me into doing something because I am never supposed to be subservient to any human being, but at the same time, if I run a public service, or if I'm going to cause a considerable amount of damage, in a case like that, we assume that you would have to be considerate to the community and not allow them to lose that money. So you take, for example, the Shulchan Aruch writes as well. So nowadays, when let's say most of us have professions, or you know we're not taking a day job, we have a job in which we're expected to be there for the year. So the Rama says that basically nowadays the way, in our conventional way of working with an employee at an employer, basically the understanding is that you can never sign on to anything for more than 3 years. Because 3 years is considered too long of an expectation that you're going to be obligated to stick around. So you sign a contract, and when I signed the contract here, I only signed 3 years. They wanted me to sign five. I didn't even know the Rama at the time. But again, the Rama says that to sign on for more than 3 years is also a violation of avadayhem, v'lo avadei le'avadim. You're not supposed to be an eved to anybody else. You're supposed to be an eved to the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And to sign a contract, to commit yourself to more than 3 years, is going to be a violation of the halacha of avadayhem. The Ktzos HaChoshen even talks about a case that he quotes from the Chabas Yair, where there was a chazan who signed up to be the chazan at a certain community. The Ktzos quotes it, it's not my story. He says he was a chazan in a certain community for the next 6 years. And now he realized that it wasn't a good deal, it wasn't a good job, he could have gotten much more money somewhere else, but he's already locked into the contract. Question is, am I able to back out on the deal now? So the question on the one hand is, if I back out on the deal, means I'm not really an honest person. On the other hand, did I ever have a right in the first place to promise them that I'm going to be there for 6 years? That's against what the Rama says, that making commitment for more than 3 years is considered a violation of avadayhem. So the Ktzos HaChoshen discusses it, and he says, well, you only signed up to be a chazan. You're not an eved to the person, so you can't say that your commitment to go ahead and be the chazan for the next 6 years is making yourself subservient to the community. If you sign up to be the rabbi, so that's a different story. Then you're really an eved to the community. If you just sign up to be the chazan, so how often do they want you ready? Once a week? So you have the whole week off to prepare and gargle all your eggs, and then you're going to come on Shabbos? That's not called being subservient to a community. Therefore, the Ktzos says maybe that shouldn't be really... maybe that really shouldn't be connected to this general psak that the Rama gives of not committing to more than 3 years. So now, we mentioned that the Rama says, based on the Gemara Bab Metzia, that Paul Yachal Lachzer Afilu Be'emtza Hayom. Because we have this limitation of not being an Eved to anybody else, the Rama says, therefore I have a right to back out in the middle of a day's work, as long as it's not going to cost you a considerable amount of money, but I'm allowed to back out in the middle of the day. What about when somebody wants to go on strike? So over there, that's not like canceling or quitting in the middle of a job because I no longer want to work for you. We have protocols for that. When I want to go on strike, I want to keep my job, but I want to change the conditions of my job. So basically, I want you to hold on to my job, but I'm not doing the work while I'm supposed to be paid to do the work. So this is a big question. Is this something that a Paul has a right to do? The Rama only says that a Paul yachal lachzer be'emtza hayom, that you're allowed to back out of a deal in the middle of the day. Maybe that's only to back out and to say, now I'm going to find employment somewhere else. But to back out only because you want to go on strike, because you want a higher pay or you want different working conditions, who said you have a right to do that? So this is a major discussion that many contemporary Acharonim have. I think it's only a contemporary question because they never had such an idea 100 years ago. I don't know how long ago the whole idea of strikes came around, but this is more of a contemporary question. So the Gemara tells us in Bab Metzia Daf Peivav that when it comes to Tnai Melacha, when it comes to working conditions, when it comes to minimum wage, when it comes to all these kinds of issues between general consensus of an employee and an employer, it's Hakol Tolem Min HaGamakom. Again, if I'm living in a third world country and you get paid 50 cents an hour, so that's called reasonable because all you need to live on over there is $2 a week. If you're living in America, that's obviously unreasonable. So we have a minimum wage that's going to be much higher. Why? Because the cost of living for us is much higher. It's all based on Minhag HaMedina. And therefore, even though I might have a contract that says X, Y, and Z, but there are certain unwritten laws that are going to be expected of my employer to provide for me because that is the Minhag HaMedina. And you have to go along with whatever the Minhag HaMedina is. And therefore, Ramosha writes, Ramosha, when he talks about HaYunions Shebevdina Senu, that's what he says. When we have a union in our society, you're going to say, well, contemporary society put together unions, but who said the union is able to dictate what the conditions should be? Says Rav Moshe, of course they should be able to, because they are able to dictate what the Minhag HaMedina is. What's conventional wisdom? What's considered conventional experience? How does everybody else do this kind of profession? How does everybody else expect to be treated in the office? So the union is able to determine what the employer has to do. And therefore, part of that, Rav Moshe says, is that if a union decides that we are going to strike because the conditions are unreasonable, that's built in. We also have a right to say that we're going to take off of work and we're going to go on strike because that is the Minhag HaMedina as well. Nowadays in America, we know that it's understood that sometimes you're going to have the union get together and determine that they feel the conditions are unfair and they want to raise, and this is what they're going to do until conditions change. So that is what Rav Moshe tells us. Rav Moshe even takes it a step further and he says, perhaps, let's say you have one, I don't know what you call him, a tzaddik or a naive person, whatever, who works in the office, and they say, well, I love the boss so much, even though everyone else is going on strike, I'm still going to go in. I don't know, what do you call that person? Scab. What?
Scab.
A what?
Scab.
A scab? That's what he's called? So if you have a scab who goes into work, Rav Moshe says, if we, as all the other people who are working in this union, whatever it might be, have determined that it makes sense for us to go on strike, and you have a couple of people who are scabs, I guess, who decide, no, we're going to go to work anyway, Rav Moshe and other Acharonim say, we're allowed to force them not to go, because the Minhag HaMedina dictates that this is right now what's positive for all of us, and even though there are a couple of scabs in the room who decide that they don't want to go along with the program, we have a right to force them to do whatever we're doing, because the Minhag HaMedina dictates what the rules are going to be. Now again, we're talking about people who are obviously reasonable. We're not talking about, you know, they just wake up one day and say we should be making $1 million. That's not Minhag HaMedina. That's being ridiculous. But if you're saying that we're all going on strike because the air conditioner is not working or because the minimum wage is not being met or because of something of that nature, so in a case like that, obviously you'd be allowed to do it. So what about when you have a doctor who decides that all the doctors in this hospital are going on strike? Or you have a rabbi or a teacher. Teachers haven't been paid for who knows how many months, and they decide, we're going on strike. So what's going to be the fallout? Either you're going to have patients who are going to die, or you're going to have children who aren't going to learn. Because you have teachers who are supposed to be teaching in the school, and now all the teachers decide to go on strike, and yes, they might be justified for going on strike, because we know that a strike is permissible. The Minhag HaMedina dictates that when you're not being treated fairly, when you're not getting a paycheck, you're allowed to go on strike if everybody decides that's the right thing to do. But at the same time, look what's going to happen. So this was a very important question that was discussed. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote a letter when there was a doctor's union that decided to go on strike in Shaare Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. So Reb Shlomo Zalman wrote two letters in a row. The first one he writes is, Hayosu shamanu ki yesh rofim shanatsu es avadasam bebeis hacholim. He said, I've heard that there's a union of doctors who decided to not show up. They're not showing up to the job. And now they're just leaving all the sick patients in the hospital. And now the ratio of doctors that are left on the floor is not close to what we normally need in order to run a functioning hospital. We don't have enough staff here left in order to really provide for our patients and save their lives. We would never, even though on Shabbos maybe we scale back, we don't have as many members in the hospital as we normally would, but during a strike, you have to leave at least the minimum amount of people that are necessary to take care of your patients. So he says that, he reminds them that the Shulchan Aruch says, HaRofe HaMonea Atzma LeRafos. A doctor who decides not to treat a patient, even though he's able to do so, HaReza Shofech Damim. You are responsible as if you have murdered that individual. So he says, what right do you have to make a decision? You're going on strike. Patients are going to die because of this. You don't have a right to do that. So again, if you leave the hospital and tell them that, well, we're all going on strike, you better hire another 150 doctors to stand in the place of these 150 who are leaving, it's a different story. But if you don't do that, you just go on strike in the middle of nowhere without advance warning, without allowing them to prepare themselves for it. So that's something that's not permissible. And therefore he says, Al-Kain, Harofim Hachiyav L'Kayim Asa'amr Le'el, he says, I beg of you that you must go back to work. There are going to be other ways in which you can demand that you get paid higher wages, but Avakshechem Lahavir HaRaseinu Zu L'Chol Rofei Beit HaCholim. I ask that you pass on this message, this letter, to anybody who works in the hospital, that it's not so simple for a doctor to go on strike because you have an obligation to the patients. So then, they were such big tzaddikim, they decided we're going to listen to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, which is amazing in the first place. They decided the strike is over. But now they decided we're going on a hunger strike. If Rav Moshe tells us we can't go on, if Rav Shlomo Zalman says we can't go on a work strike, now we're going to go on a hunger strike. Maybe everybody will learn their lesson that way. So now he writes, he comes back again, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes a second letter. I've gotten word that all the doctor unions want to get together and go on a hunger strike. One is not allowed to do something like a hunger strike which is going to cause you personal affliction, personal damage to your body. And therefore he goes on to say that he thinks you're not allowed to do that, even if it means it's going to cost you a lot of money, even if it means you're not going to get a paycheck. But a hunger strike is something you're absolutely not allowed to do at all. So Rav Shlomo Zalman takes the position that a doctor's not allowed to do it because it's irresponsible to the patients. Now what about a teacher in a school? So you'll say, so the kids will go home for a couple of days. What's the big deal? So Rav Moshe has something very interesting. Rav Moshe, when he talks about the strike of the teachers' union, says, well, here we have a different consideration, which really, when you think about it, should be the same consideration for a doctor. We've been discussing all week, what's the reason why a teacher gets paid? The reason why a teacher gets paid is not because they're showing up to work. The reason why the teacher gets paid is, we pay you schar batala. We pay you the amount of money that it's worth it for us to have you available and accessible to our community at all times, in order that you should be able to dedicate all your time to teach the children or to be the rabbi. We don't want you to go get a law degree and become a lawyer, because then you're not going to be available to provide the services that our community needs. So we're not paying you for the teaching per se or for the rabbinating per se. We're paying you rather that you shouldn't get another job in order that you should be available to do this. Well, says our motion, now you're going to go on strike. That means you have plenty of extra time. Well, then your obligation goes back and you have to go and teach. Because why are we paying you a salary? We're paying you a salary because you're supposed to be available and accessible and have free time all the time to be able to do what we need you to do. Well, now that you're on strike, you have plenty of time. So Rav Moshe says, now your obligation begins again to go and teach the children as you were originally paid to do so. So Rav Moshe says, we have this consideration that perhaps you don't have a right to go ahead and go on strike if you're a teacher or a doctor, because if you're only being paid schar batala and not schar for the actual work that you're doing, then right now, you are mevutal. Right now you have nothing else to do, so you should go ahead and fulfill your obligation of treating the patients and of teaching the children. So this is all something to consider, something to think about. Again, Rav Moshe says, if you get a haras chacham, if you discuss it and you say, look, we've gotten to a point where the paychecks haven't come in 5 months, we cannot continue to live like this. Obviously, anyone reasonable is going to say, sometimes bitulo shatoros deukiyumo. Sometimes you have to stop the children from learning, and sometimes you have to do drastic measures because there's an unfortunate circumstance going on. But under normal case of events, Rav Moshe is very, very strongly opposed to a Rebbe or a Rabbi or a Mechanech going ahead and going on strike, because that would be a violation of the whole principle of Schar Batala. Let's just close with one insight, and that is, the son of Rav Shamsher Rafal Hirsch writes, we're talking about Schar Batala and about not charging money for mitzvahs, so he points out that in the Navi Zechariah, it's the Haftarah that we lay on Sukkis, so we lay about Melchames Gog Magog, about Achris Hayamim, what it's going to be like, the days of Mashiach. And the Navi there ends off with one pasuk. This is the end of the Sefer. V'haya kol sir b'Yerushalayim of Yehuda kodesh l'Hashem tzevakos. Sir b'Yerushalayim means every pot in Yerushalayim is going to be kodesh l'Hashem tzevakos. Everyone's going to be living on an incredible madrega. Uval kol azovchem v'lakchu mehem uvishla b'hem. Everyone's going to come with their karbanos and throw it into anybody's pot, because anywhere you go, everyone's going to be living on this unbelievable level of kedusha v'tahara. Okay. And then the end of the pasuk is, "V'lo yihya kenani od bebeis Hashem tzevakos bayamahu." There will no longer be any kenanim who will enter into the beis Hashem tzevakos. So what does that mean? Rashi says kenani here doesn't mean the kenanim. That's not who we're referring to. Rashi says kenani means sochrim. There are not going to be any more salesmen who are going to be running around in the beis hamikdash. So this is a way to end off an unbelievable climax. There's going to be a Mechemes Gog Magog, and everyone's going to be living B'Kedusha V'Tahara. Everything's going to be amazing. We're going to have karbanos all over the streets. And there's not going to be any more salesmen in the Beis HaMikdash. Really? Is that what we daven for? That's what the Navi has to tell us? This is what's going to be so exciting, that we're not going to have salesmen running around the Beis HaMikdash? So the son of Rav Hirsch suggests that perhaps what it means is, Lo Yeh Socher, Lo Yeh Knani, or Socher, Od B'Beis Hashem Tzevakos means, we're going to come to a time where those who are involved in Avodas HaKodesh are not going to make a business out of it. They're going to go back to the original halacha, which is Ma'ani B'chinam. You're supposed to perform mitzvos just because God told you to perform it, not because you know you're going to get a big check for it. You're supposed to be a rabbi because that's the right thing to do. You're supposed to be a doctor because that's the right thing to do, because you're supposed to help the community. You're supposed to contribute to society as best as you possibly can. That, he says, is what the Navi Zechariah teaches us, that Lo yeh kenani od bebeis Hashem, at that time of Achris Hayamim, we're going to come to such a lofty spiritual level in which nobody will feel any necessity to take money for involving themselves in the mitzvah Hashem. We will do it the way we were instructed to do it. Ma'ani b'chinam, afati b'chinam. We're not going to charge for the mitzvahs that we perform. We're going to be happy and proud that we have the opportunity to perform the mitzvahs that we were all asked to do. So that's a very interesting insight that he has, but perhaps that's something to think about, that Achris Hayamim will afford us that incredible opportunity to shift our perspective and to once again make us think that we have a tremendous opportunity every day of the year to perform all the incredible mitzvahs that we are given.